326 of the Permaculture Pimpcast, where PIMP stands for Permaculture is My Passion. The only Pimpcast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. Oh yeah, good to be here with y'all today. If you're here in the live stream, go ahead and hit that thumbs up. Tell everybody we're live so they can go ahead and start suppressing us like they normally do. All right, this is episode 326. Man, I can't believe we're that far down the road on this show. Anyway, this episode brought to you as usual by Hickory Ridge Soap from twooldcrowshomestead.com.
Turn that simp into a pimp.
Bam! Living Soil Foundation. Yeah, we are doing some, we're waiting on tests right now, but we're doing some big stuff, all thanks to your donations out there. So I want to give a shout out to everybody that's contributed. A number of people sent it through the mail. You did it through Give, Send, Go. And once again, I can't thank you enough because we are definitely moving the needle. And judging by a visit I had last week, we seem, you know, out of nowhere, we had like so-called soil specialists coming up out of nowhere around here. And Alan Booker, who I interviewed a week ago, he shows up in town and... yeah, it's amazing how many of these people just disappeared, but they'll show up. I mean, they will absolutely show up for some fire gathering or some poison dart frog, whatever, around the fire.
They'll show You're talking up about ayahuasca?
Yeah, man, these guys are doing some weird stuff, man. They were in here. Last little get-together they had a little poison dart. I mean, when I was in Panama, I remember... they had this frog and they would get it and they'd warm it up. Somehow this thing would secrete some kind of sweat. They would take it. The natives would take this stuff, put it on, you know, blow darts or whatever, and it'll paralyze something. Well, you could take a people microdose with this stuff apparently. And yeah, that was part of the class they had. Not this time around, but the last time, me and your mom made absolutely sure we weren't there anywhere close to this place, man. Who even knew what kind of demons were flying around that place? But yeah, they'll show up for that. But boy, to go out here and learn something, can't seem to get nobody to show up for that sort of thing. Anyway, how's it going, son?
I'm reading some of these comments. Dustin Bramley says, the only two pimps I know whose stable of chicken heads have feathers. And I was thinking, my wife is actually the one that feeds the stable.
She's the queen bee, I guess.
I guess. And then Godheart Guardian saying, pimping is pimping, pimping, which I think is a Cat Williams quote.
Yeah. It is so amazing, though, how many people get offended even after. It's like they made up their mind they're going to get, first of all, if you look at the title of the show, Pimp, you can obviously tell it's an acronym. And even after you tell them what it means, there are so many people out there who are just absolutely determined to be offended no matter what. So, hey, I guess we ain't for everybody. Anyway, let's get into it. We'll talk about the farm news. And then, of course, I got a couple of political observations I'd like to make. Maybe you haven't, unless you're on my ex account, you probably haven't. You probably don't know what I'm talking about. Anyway. Flip some compost around here. I did it a little bit differently this time. I got some old wood chips, not wood chips, but I'm talking like aged chips that are down to the point where they have become compost. Anyway, I'm doing a thermophilic pile on those, and I just flipped that yesterday. Literally moments before coming in here, I was out there weed eating this bank that we have that's full of silver grass, and I'm staying on top of it. We've eradicated it in most places. This is one of those places where we still have it. And with all the rain and all the crazy weather and stuff and commitments everywhere, having to go here, having to do that, do this, do that, fix the driveway, all kinds of crazy stuff. Haven't really had a chance to get after it, and it's a little far along in the tooth. And when this silver grass gets long, folks, it is a nightmare to deal with. It really is. It's like trying to cut bamboo. So I was out there doing that. Let's see here. I got to still get this sheep net off the mountain that's been up there ever since the hurricane. A tree fell on it. I finally had the time, because we've been helping everybody else, finally got the time to sit here and chop up part of it to access this net. And of course, it's grown all up in there. And so consequently, here's one of those things that nobody likes to do. I had to go buy two more nets. We had some idiot, I got my suspicions, cut up one of our nets when the sheep were closer to the road. Well, we'll be catching you next time you do it. So anyway, had somebody do that. And also they chopped up a hose that was down there, as if the list isn't very short. Anyway, got the cameras in a way to where you will not escape next time. So anyway, looking forward to that. Anyway, had to buy some more nets. Let's see here. The little baby sheepies, I'll have to do a video about these guys, but man, they are so stinking cute. And they hop everywhere. They don't even walk. It's funny, especially at the end of the day, at the end of every day, it's like they all get together and they just hop and chase each other and headbutt the whole nine yards, just being little baby sheep. So that's cool. Well, I'm sure a lot of folks have noticed it. I know anybody living in North Carolina certainly has, but there is a haze everywhere. Haze. I mean, I had to drive into Weaverville today, and normally I can see the mountains in the distance. Well, you can't. You can't even see the mountains in the distance. That's how bad the haze is. Oh, no, they're telling us that it's Canadian wildfires that are just, when the dominant wind this time of year is blowing from the southwest, they're telling us it's Canadian wildfires that are, nobody smells smoke, but if you can smell anything at all, there's at least two women I know of who have lost their taste of sense and smell. And actually, there's a number of them. I won't list their names here, but one of them might very well be in the chat. And I might be married to one, and another one might live in Florida. So all of a sudden, they lost their taste. They lost their smell. And they're telling us it's Canadian wildfires. I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it one bit. So
here it's the Saharan dirt, apparently. The reason why it's hazy here is because the dust from the Sahara is settled over Texas right now.
So what blows my mind is that everybody knows, if you have any sense at all, you know that your government lies to you about everything. So whenever they give you an official reason for something, it just floors me that people just buy it still. I mean, whatever they tell you, believe the opposite. So it's Canadian wildfires up here, but down there, it's Sonoran Desert or Saharan Desert. Yeah. They've been doing this stuff for years, y'all. It's a lie. They're spraying this stuff at night. You get up in the morning, it's hazy, the whole nine yards. They're playing games. And
I don't have any doubt that there might be some Saharan Desert dust that does make its way over here. It's just other times in the past. Every time they've claimed that in the past, there's always been like a reddish tint to it. This time it's like the normal haze. It's just like almost whitish gray tint up there. Usually it's red whenever they claim it's the Saharan Desert. Not anymore.
Yeah, but they've been doing that for years, claiming that's what's happening. Folks, whatever they tell you, believe the very opposite. Okay, case in point. This is where I go a little bit sideways. Okay. Anybody look at the news cycle. When something breaks on a Friday, take this from a guy who used to work in this space. Okay. I was a political commentator for years, and I know how the political cycle works. So when a news breaks on Friday, it's with the expectation, they call it dumping day for a reason. They dump it on Friday because they know by Monday, the American public is not even, they're going to forget about it before Monday even rolls around. Okay, case in point. So what breaks out on Friday? Oh, we get this, we find out that Trump basically teamed up, betrayed the American public and teamed up with Palantir, you know, Peter Thiel, to basically do a little database on all the Americans, as if we didn't know that was already happening anyway. But here it is. I swear, I'm telling you folks, as sure as I'm on this microphone right now, I almost wrote a post on X. I almost did it saying, mark my words, there will be some great thing that unfolds by Monday to keep everybody from asking any critical questions about Palantir. Well, heavens to Murgatroyd, what happens? All of a sudden, we got another mysterious, I'm going to call it, look, at this point, I'm going to call it a false flag. They get a 2-for-1 here. Now they get more sympathy for Israel, which I don't understand. And at the very same time, they're able to shift the narrative. Everybody on Twitter was absolutely furious over this Trump-Palantir thing. I mean, furious. And then I even wrote, I think on Ann Vandersteels and a number of others, I said, mark my words, by Monday. I didn't put it as a post, but I should have. I said, mark my words, by Monday, nobody's going to be talking about this. So what happened? Okay, we have that little thing in Boulder, Colorado, supposedly happened. It sure is funny, the lack of video, you know, for something like that. You know, usually it's hitting 10,000 different angles out there, but it's funny that that hasn't happened. But okay, and at the same time, you have this thing unfold in Russia, which I ain't even for a minute believing the official story on that. I'm not believing. I mean, whatever they tell me, folks, whatever they tell you, at this point, if they told me the sun rose in the east, I'd go out and check. I wouldn't believe anything. But anyway, the consequences of this Palantir thing, folks, all of you people that are Trump diehards, if you are all about MAGA or whatever that was, look, I'm not left. Let me just preface what I'm about to say for the idiots out there. They're going to say, oh, you're a lefty lunatic. No, I'm not left or right. I hate them equally. Okay. I would say libertarian, but I'm not anymore. They've gotten to look, I'm just wide awake. Okay. I don't claim to be left or right, any of those things. If you're about the Constitution, well, I'm with you on that. Okay. That's my level line right there. So here it is. Once again, you get absolutely positively betrayed. And son, I'll bet a dollar to donuts, it's not going to move the needle one bit.
Yeah, no, it's not going to change anybody's. If anybody hasn't woken up to this dude so far, then I don't know that there's much else left to show you. I mean, even like some diehard Trump people, just like there's a guy mowing the yard across the road from me. A couple of weeks ago, he had a burn pile. That's why I went up and talked to him. I asked if I could throw some branches in the burn pile. And even he, you could tell, like the typical diehard Trump guy, like 60s, 70s, like finally America saved type guy. But even he had some questions about like these tariffs and whatnot and whether or not this was a good route to go and all that. So if you can get people like that to start questioning, that's usually a good sign. But at this point, past this, I don't know what else you can do in order to wake people up.
I can't even tell you how many times I've wrote on somebody's thing like, okay, this thing with Palantir. So now it's starting to look as if Doge went out there, got all this, because the whole narrative makes no sense. Okay, so Elon Musk, yeah, folks, this all has something to do with permaculture. Just bear with me. So Elon Musk, you got him out there, and the dude only audits 1% of the freaking government, 1%. And look what he found. And all of a sudden that goes away, 1%. And look what he found. Well, all of a sudden they're talking about the Pentagon, and then they shut the whole thing down. Now it's starting to look as if, and this isn't my intellectual property, some other people have suggested it, it's starting to look as if he was in there to gather the records, and then they hand him over to Palantir. And now we get databases, you know, data files on every single American. Look, this was a Nazi and a Stasi wet dream, okay? Absolutely. Absolute wet dream. And nobody cares. Nobody cares. You just went, folks, we just went back America circa King George. That's exactly what just happened. And nobody's talking about it. Nobody cares. So
everybody's response right now is, well, they already had a database on us anyway. They already had, like,
yeah,
that's everybody's response right now is like, oh, they were already keeping tabs on everything we did anyway. So yeah, why not just go ahead and give them permission then?
Well, as far as what this means, folks, you can see the narrative unfolding right now. You know, my crystal ball so far has been batting 1,000. I mean, look, I'm not trying to brag here, but I'm telling you straight. I mean, I told you this guy is the biggest Trojan horse probably in history. All of them. I mean, every single one of them probably since JFK. It was like that one comedian said, you know, when you become president now, they take you into a room and you look at the Kennedy assassination in an angle maybe you've never seen it before. They just play the video, stand back when they're a smoke-filled room, and then say, okay, any questions? And you're like, okay, yeah, what are my orders? That's how it rolls out. So everybody thinking this guy was your savior, folks, the reason why I'm telling you this is so many people went right back into the Matrix, and a lot of them are still in there. If you're one of those people, you might want to reconsider and come back out, because I made the prediction before. I said, you will not recognize this country by the end of 2025. I've said it before, and I'm going to stand by it. And you can already see it ramping up. You can see this thing in Russia ramping up. You can see, I mean, for crying out loud, the leader in Great Britain, Keir Starmer, just came out, made an announcement. I mean, like, hey, we're mobilizing for war, the whole nine yards, and nobody's talking about it. So moral to the story is, folks, anybody out there in the military, I know there's a lot of vets listening to this. If you got anybody in the military and they can ETS right now and get out, I would highly encourage it. And who even knows what they're setting up the narrative. It just blows my mind that you can go out here and burn the American flag. Nobody can do anything about it, but you burn the Israel flag, you're going to jail. What planet am I on? What planet am I on? Yeah. All right. I'm gonna leave that one right there, son.
Before Dad gets his third strike.
Yeah, I'm about to lose it, man. So why don't you tell us how's things been going? What's your farm news?
Just picked up a washer today. I went to that used appliance place. The used appliance place right now has washers the same price as brand new washers right now. The only benefit is that these ones are like upgraded, more durable parts and stuff like that, and they come with a better warranty. But it's the same price as brand new appliances right now. Picked up a washer. Just trying to get these moringa seeds to get growing, and so that way I can get them planted. I have a south-facing brick wall that I'm going to try to plant a moringa tree up against and see how much longer I can expose or get that growing season out of it. That's mostly it. Just trying to kind of still playing catch up from being out of town so often.
Yeah, I'm still playing catch up from the hurricane. I mean, we've been helping a whole lot of other people out there. And now it's like, okay, man, we really got to put foot to butt and get our own selves squared away. So that's what we've been doing. And, you know, eating a lot of the food we grow right now, that high tunnel's kicking. I mean, your mom just cooked a bunch of beets and I ate some of those. And
is that what that banging around is in the background?
No, your mom is down there making a lot of noise for some reason, and I have no idea what. And I didn't shut the door because it's not like we have the AC on or anything, and it's hot if I don't shut the door.
Right. But
your mom could never be a sapper because she can't be quiet. She couldn't do it. No way. Anyway, Redemption Shield, y'all. Oh my goodness. Yeah, she's probably down there shaking her head right now, going full Shaniqua on me. Anyway, Redemption Shield, 10% off with promo code PERMA, y'all. Remember, I'm G'd up from the feet up. That means grounded. My feet are on this grounding mat right now. Got to do it with all this, you know, in this studio with all these EMFs around here. Got to make sure I am getting those beneficial electrons. So you know how that works. Billy 100. Yeah, I had to go out today and go get some rocks to put down the driveway. Able to get them again. I mean, it's been pretty hard to find lately. So every single time I leave this house, y'all, I promise you, I got on that wave watch 100% of the time. And I'm able to, if I have any anxiety being in a place where it's crowded or anything like that, that's, you know, I got it on every time I leave this house. So Billy 100 will get you $100 off of that. And then remember, coming up in July 18th through the 20th, we got Kentucky Sustainable Living. And we had Jason and Shelly on last week talking about what's going on over there. So, yeah, there's some other stuff going on too, but I didn't get it in my notes. All right, so I'm going to go to the good news right now. So some of this is kind of bittersweet. We got micro housing surges in the U.S. cities as housing crisis deepens. Okay, I'm going to say that's a good and a bad thing, because, and it can be necessarily a good thing if you know how to do this right. A lot of these tiny houses, folks, I know for the longest time now, it seems it's been one giant fad. And let's be honest, it kind of has been. I mean, it's been one giant fad. So one good way of going about this, at least when it comes to these tiny houses, is, look, if you're going to have one, make sure you insulate the living daylights out of that thing.
Yeah.
Especially, I mean, that's one thing that, you know, you're not going to get better than 2x4 walls, but make sure you got good insulation in there. And if you got a roof on it, take it from me. I was a former insulation contractor. You want to try to get at least an R30 up there, at least. And it's going to help you on your AC bills as well. So just think about it with these. You can make it work, but it's also an indication that things aren't exactly wonderful in the United States of Amnesia when it comes to this stuff. So the good news about all that is life is livable in a tiny house. I mean, we did it for years. I mean, three adults and three dogs and 300 square feet, and we did it for years. So
less than that, we did it in a that fifth wheel for a while.
yeah, and then a cabin for a little while. I mean, it was small, and we made it work. But it can happen. But folks, I think you can really, really save a pile of money. Man, I probably shouldn't open this can of worms, but you can save a pile of money in a tiny home if you do it right. But there's lots of ways to do it wrong too. So tiny houses, I don't know if I'd have one in the middle of Arizona, but you know, in certain places like right here, they could work and work well. And a lot of folks, ever since that hurricane, that's all they can work out right now. So it's, you know, you do what you can.
All right, there's a lady I knew real quick. There's a lady I knew up in the Earthship Biotexture area. She was actually taking a storage container and then built like a 4-inch box around the entire container for insulation. And she was using largely like ripped up old jeans from like one of those mills or something as insulation, and just shoved them down into that 4-inch box and used that for insulation. And apparently worked pretty doggone well. She was able to heat and cool that whole container with just like a simple window unit occasionally.
Wow. Sounds like, you know, back in the day, back in the old days, either they didn't have no insulation at all, or B, some of the old houses would have like newspapers and stuff in there. So, you know, and that's really what the cellulose insulation is anyway. It's just, you know, ground up newspapers, but who's even reading newspapers anymore? So you're probably better off if you don't. All right. Next one is FDA experts demand ban on cancer causing talc hidden in everyday food and medications. Okay, so a lot of that talc that everybody's been using has been found to cause some pretty serious problems out there, and a lot of it being cancer. At least that's what they suspect. Well, the good thing is the FDA is doing anything worthwhile, well, maybe pulling that off. You know, don't say anything about chemtrails or mRNA. No, let's not talk about those, but talc, along with yellow dye number 7 or whatever it is, oh, yeah, we can get that talked about, but let's not talk about the things that are, you know, like the elephants in the room. Yeah. All right, and the last one here. So methylene blue revives hope. And this is a really good story, if you ask me. Methylene blue revives hope in fighting Alzheimer's, aging, and cancer-linked neurotoxicity. Man, you can learn a whole lot about this thing. Now, people have sent me emails talking about people that have talked about the negative side effects of methylene blue. Yeah, I guess it depends on where you're getting it from and whether or not you're using it properly. So using this methylene blue, it's like a panacea now, and everybody's just doing it. There are ways in which you should go about doing this, and there's ways you should go about taking it. But the good news is that when you look into this article, you're finding out that all of these people with Alzheimer's, man, if you really want to get a really awesome understanding about this, listen to anything Dr. Jack Cruz has to say about methylene blue and what it does and how he was one of the pioneers in using it in surgery and why he used it. So it does have its role, but everybody out there is just going haywire with it. But it's pretty awesome that people out there with Alzheimer's, I mean, at the rate we're going now, maybe we'll all have it with all the aluminum they're dropping from the sky. I mean, we're going through it like nobody's. I'm having a detox like folks, like nothing you've ever seen before because of how bad it's gotten. So, I mean, like Dr. Ed Group said, once upon a time, he would tell somebody to do a liver cleanse once every, you know, 6 months or so. Now he's telling them to do it once a month. That's how bad it is.
Yeah, I believe it. Yeah, the most controversial video I've ever done was having a blue bottle of pee and using it to heat up a compost pile. I didn't realize it was like a political statement when I made that video, but people were losing their minds over that video. Oh, like, oh, this guy's got blue pee. Everything he said is just incorrect now. Like,
yeah, I'm honestly, I am so over even trying to explain certain things to people. You know, and the ones that seem to be the most bellicose about it are the ones that, you know, do what they do every day and then you watch TV every night. Well, or you do zero study at all into the topic that you seem to be a self-proclaimed expert about. So anyway, yeah, methylene blue does have its role in stuff. And whether you're listening to Dr. Will Spencer or Dr. Jack Cruz, I mean, Jack Cruz will go through and explain exactly what it is doing and why it's doing what it's doing. But anyway, through these studies, they're finding out that a lot of these people with some very serious medical conditions are finding out that, it's effectively treating this stuff powerfully. So it's like one of those because it was meant to be a dye. I mean, people used it to clean their fish tanks and stuff like that back in the day. So, you know, here we are, this stuff. I mean, if you're having any of those issues or know somebody that does, well, go out there, find a decentralized doctor and see if you can't get some help with some of this stuff. And that's one of the things you might bring up, but also you might want to look into Dr. Jack Cruz and find out. You know, I keep bringing up that guy's name, man, but I'm doing it for a reason. All right, y'all. With that said, we're going to go to my man, Eric.
Hey, Eric. Excited here with your PimpCast tip of the day. Today's tip, retaining our humanity. I listened to a great interview talking about the danger of losing human skills with the increasing use of AI. If smartphones and social media started the fire, AI is like pouring on the gasoline. We are actually rewiring our brains because kids are being raised by screens. These kids are less capable of interacting with other humans in person. Our emotional intelligence is plateauing at toddler level. We don't know how to deal with our emotions. We lack empathy. We don't know how to resolve conflict peacefully. These are all the critical human skills we are losing. AI can create anything now, indistinguishable from reality. We don't have to learn anything anymore. We can just have AI do it. But there is incredible value in struggling through a difficult process. You gain wisdom and confidence. If you have AI do something, you learn nothing. It's like if they say, well, AI will provide everyone with boats until there is a storm and you don't know how to swim. We talk often how the media is trying to keep us all in fear. Relying on AI just makes everyone even more afraid because now no one knows how to do anything without AI. AI is just a tool, and like any tool, you should know how to exist without it. Human and handmade things will become more valuable and rare, and offline communities will become critically important. This is why all the world's problems truly can be solved in a garden. You can find me on YouTube and Instagram at Eric Sider. If you're in need of permaculture t-shirts or remote permaculture consultation and design, head over to ericsider.com. And for those in the Sacramento area, check out my permaculture community group, permaculturefairoaks.org.
That's my dog right there. And boy, I can't agree more. He sent me that podcast he's actually talking about. It was with Diary of a CEO. And he's done a number of these podcasts talking about the consequences of AI. Man, we really should do a show on this because it's just like George Washington said about government. It's a dangerous servant or a fearful master. And AI is worse on every single count. The first time, in fact, Eric was the first one to tell me when ChatGPT came out, I didn't know anything about this thing. And he sent it to me. And I remember reading the article about what this thing could do. At that time, Eric sent me an example of what he asked this thing to do. And it wrote like a brief article.
Yeah.
And it blew my mind. And the first thing I said to him was, no kid will ever do a book report ever again. No kid will ever read a book and do a book report ever again. That was the first thing that popped up into my head. And we're seeing it right now. Everybody's like, okay. I don't know how many examples I can provide from Grok, ChatGPT, all the others. And like William said, or like Eric said, they are a very handy tool for research. But there are times I go to this thing and I'll ask it questions I know the answer to. Or you ask it something political, like how many genders are there out there? Or that's not even political. That's just straight biology. you ask it something like that, or ask it regarding, okay, if you ask it anything regarding Israel, and let's say it's, the USS Liberty and what happened there, look at the answers you get. It might blow your mind. So no, AI isn't the end all be all, but so many people, just like when Snopes came along, they were like, well, I checked it with Snopes. What happened to your old common sense? So everybody's outsourcing everything. And pretty soon, folks, that's going to be one of the big devastations that unfolds. And in fact, in that podcast from Diary of a CEO, I can't remember the guy's name. As I was listening to it, he was talking about one of the great consequences is unfolding right now. What do you do with all these people that are almost certainly going to not be in the workplace anymore? Well, you might want to be thinking about a plan B, because honestly, are you going to trust AI to grow your vegetables? Well, it can't do it. Or let's say they got robots out there. Okay, well, there are things that fundamentally these things are probably never going to be able to do. But at the end of the day, would I want them to? And the answer is a resounding no. Son, do you intend to get a robot?
No, no. I've seen iRobot. I know how that goes.
Yeah.
You can end up riding around on a motorcycle with Will Smith shooting him with a sawed-off shotgun.
Yeah, I don't want anything to do with any of this stuff. I mean, You know, we all are in this matrix to some extent or another, but I'm trying as often as I can. And honestly, I'm removing myself from tech as often as I can. So in fact, I'm trying to be so conscious about it that anytime I pick up my phone or iPad, or let's say I'm prepping this show, whatever the case may be, I try to make, first of all, I'm protecting my eyes and my skin as best I can. So I'll have a blue light blocker on, or if I'm outside, I'll make sure I'm like midday when I mess with these things. But when you get down to this AI and the whole nine yards, folks, I'm telling you, everybody is so reliant on it right now, and it's going to replace jobs in a way that people haven't even dreamed of yet. And don't think that wasn't part of what Musk was doing when he was there at Doge, because honestly, at this point, none of it makes any sense right now. It's one giant screw job. I'm predicting that. Anyway, EMP Shield, $50 off with promo code PERMA. Remember, I'm a journeyman electrician, been one for almost 30 years now, and I'm here to tell you that your number one threat, well, I would have told you before this whole thing in Russia, is lightning. But now it might very well be an EMP. But anyway, EMP Shield, look, if anything gets downstream of it, whether it's a lightning strike or whatever the case may be, it is a transient voltage surge suppressor like nobody's business, and they got a guarantee that'll knock your socks off. So anyway, promo code PERMA will get you a $50 off. So check out empshield.com. All right. I wanted to cover something in light of all the stuff that's going on in the news right now is people are really starting to ask critical questions about the world they're in. About time. So, and I think it's about to ramp up as the summer heats on. I mean, we are in the war months now. So anything can happen, anywhere can happen. So I was like, okay, maybe I need to go back to my prepper. I hate anything that ends in ER. I can't even believe I just said it, son. I called myself, I'm not a prepper. I'm into preparedness. I don't use anything. Because you know what? The mainstream media has somehow turned anything that ends in ER into a pejorative. So I try not to use it. Anyway, from back into my preparedness roots, you know, that's where I started before even getting into permaculture, way back when. And I'm thinking it might be a good time to revisit some of this stuff in light of the things that are going on, because depending on how this hashes out, we may very well find ourselves in some very uncomfortable circumstances. And let's not forget about the fact that, you know what, they directed a hurricane right here in Western North Carolina, where I am. I don't care what anybody says. We got the goods. We got the proof. That was a directed storm. They used the NEXRAD radar towers, the whole nine yards. We got the goods on them. Dane Wigington has proven it, and a number of others have proven it as well. Okay. So what? Let's say you got a Diddy Mal out of there quick. Let's say you got to bounce. Let's say you got to roll. And let's say you got to do it quick. Or let's say you do have a little bit of time and you only have a short period of time to even figure out what you're going to get. What are you going to take with you? So that's why I wanted to cover the things that ought to be in every permaculture bug out bag. I didn't tell William what I had, and he didn't tell me what he came up with. But, you know, right off the bat, I mean, the list can be forever. But I'm saying if you had, it wouldn't even necessarily need to be a bag. Let's say you could grab a few bags and throw them in your vehicle and get away. Well, I'm going to say right off the bat, outside of the obvious, which is going to be storable food and preferably freeze-dried food because you can carry way more of it and it's light. Obviously, the water purification, hopefully you got that, and matches, pots, you know, things you can do all that with. Outside of those things, I wanted to throw in some other things that maybe people didn't think about. And I was going to say right off the bat, number one on my list is an heirloom seed pack, preferably from seeds that you've saved yourself. Man, there is nothing that will get me fired up quicker than hearing these people talk about these survival seed bags. So what's the downside of those survival seed bags?
Is that if you're in a predicament where you have to, you know, rely on those seeds, you've never tested them before, you don't know the germination rates, and then you're also going to have to wait for them to grow to a point where you can harvest the vegetables or the fruit. Like, that's good downstream and everything, but how often do you need to bug out with something like those? You know what I mean? Like,
oh, how often snap. Do you need to- we got a disaster that went off. Oh, 60 days, we're going to have some radishes. Wherever I find myself. I mean, yeah, I never understood those either.
Yeah. And then also, like, you're picking the hardest time to now learn how to garden. You're picking after disasters happen, when you don't have, like, use of outside inputs. You know, the system is shut down and all that. You're picking the hardest time to learn how to garden. You may or may not have Google to, you know, answer some questions. You may or may not have YouTube or access to YouTube. Learn how to do the gardening part before the disaster happens, so that way you can answer a lot of those questions. But yeah, like Default Behavior said, seeds are for rebuilding, not necessarily for like immediate disaster response.
Well, how do you know that with a lot of these survival seed kits, and that's what they call them, how do you even know they're going to do well in your area to begin with? I mean, if you really want to have some, I mean, seeds in your area that you've produced and you got generation after generation, preferably, well, if you've only kept the very best back, well, you really ought to have some good seeds. Who even knows where they're getting some of these seeds in these survival seed kits or whatever? So, I mean, you could focus on fast-growing calories like amaranth or squash or beans, you know, stuff like that. But honestly, I'm a big fan of those root crops too. But, you know, it ain't like you're taking potato starch with you.
Right.
that's kind of hard to come by. And I'm not sure how rice does in a lot of other places, but that's the first one I got. So here's another one to carry or to think about is a folding trowel. Like one of those army shovels or even a hori hori knife, something that you could use for guerrilla gardening or wild harvesting or digging in just about any terrain. So,
like an e-tool?
Yeah, e-tool. So one of those little collapsible e-tools where it folds up, you know. I always hated those things in the army. Man, I hated those things with a passion because you just like, give me a real shovel for crying out loud. But yeah, you're trying to move dirt with that thing. Just ain't cool. So like a folding trowel, hori hori knife, something like that. You know, a hori hori knife, I would probably favor a little bit more, but at the same time, that e-tool serves as a pretty good, like when you have to go to the bathroom or something like that, where you can fold that thing over and use it you know, it's kind of handy that way where you can use it as like a toilet seat. I mean, not to get disgusting here, but you want things that have multiple functions. So that's where I lean into something like that. You know, another thing you might even consider, some might say bring mycorrhiza fungi or compost.
Wait, what? This is a bug out bag.
That's what I'm saying. It's tiny. It's tiny. So if you have like nitrogen fixing seeds in there, it's going to help a little bit better if you have your nitrogen, you know, let's say your beans or whatever, if you had, because those things are tiny and you could inoculate a bunch of seeds with it. Yeah, I'm just saying it's small, it's tiny, but you know, hey, I was just like, hey man, this is a permaculture bug out bag, you know, in addition to your regular bug out bag, you know, outside of the typical beans and bullets that you're going to bring. So, you know, those packets are tiny. So, I mean, you could bring some of that. Maybe some kind of permaculture field guide, and you might even waterproof it, obviously, as some kind of cheat guide. You know, some basic swale guides. I mean, a lot of this stuff I wouldn't need, but if you're new to this, it wouldn't hurt to have a quick reference point for a lot of this stuff. But, you know, there's a reason why we have a sapper handbook, you know, or a ranger handbook or anything like that, you know, for a quick reference guide for things like that. So any, you know, you want to make sure this thing is like very, very to the point and clearly small. Anything you would add in there, son?
Well, you could do the permaculture design manual. That's what I was looking for. I was trying to see if I had it on the, oh, there it is. But yeah, it was going to be kind of hard to waterproof. I don't know how you do that, but you could just put it all in a Ziploc bag and take the permaculture design manual. Granted, that's going to be a lot of space, but the cool thing is that you can go anywhere in the world after that and start growing food.
I was trying to think about how you could compartmentalize that, or if somebody's ever come up with a way to, you know, I don't know how you, I mean, I don't know enough about tech to know how to do that sort of thing, but if it were an EMP or something like that, it might be kind of handy to have a quick reference guide, just like with the Sapper and the Ranger handbooks. You know, you don't have a 5-250 in this, you know, which is a field manual that's pretty thick. So you have basically the nuts and bolt components that you're going to need in the quick reference guide for a Sapper handbook. So, and that's another thing I would really recommend people bring is a Sapper or Ranger. I would bring a Sapper handbook because it has everything a Ranger handbook has in it, plus some of the other things and words I can't say on this podcast. So you're going to get more bang for the buck that way. Portable water filters. That's going to be something you want to bring in there too, because I mean, good luck trying to function without clean water. So obviously, you're going to want to have a ferro rod, char cloth, or some kind of fire starters or something like that. You know, lighters. You want to have multiple ways to start a fire. Cool thing about a ferro rod, you know, it can get wet, a whole nine yards. Fat wood, that's also good. You know, it's light. You know, a foraging bag and an ID guide, you know, you might want to think about, first of all, you may not wind up in an area that you're comfortable with, so you may not know what's there. But having some quick reference guide for what you might need to forage might be kind of handy. So that might be handy as well. Here's another one. And I'm talking to the people in Asheville right now. Some kind of soap or neem oil. You could bring the neem oil. Well, obviously, it's going to work for skin irritations and also garden pests. So that's a double-edged sword. But I know, you know, suggesting soap to the hipsters in Asheville is like putting a cross to a vampire. For some reason, there's some sacrament that I don't understand with why people, I don't understand it, but these people smell like 30 miles of Louisiana swamp.
Yep.
There's something to it. There's some sacrament. Folks, I will go without eating before I go without bathing. Okay.
Especially when they gather. When they gather, it's like they save up the funk for those moments and just fill the room.
Yeah, it's like that. Imagine a whole room full of the guys like Pigpen on Charlie Brown. I mean, he was the outlier in Charlie Brown, but man, you got a whole town full of these people. And like I said, there is something water. It's not like where it's up north, back east, you know, where, you know, people are really cautious about their water usage because they pay a lot for it. It's not that way down here. And there's some sort of saccharin. But anyway, I go sideways here. Soap. 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 Some kind of soap. You want to make sure you have that. Like I said, it will work well in the garden too, and you can discard some of your stuff into whatever garden you have out there, Gorilla Garden, whatever the case may be. Natural soaps, neem oil. I mean, I don't care. Look, Asheville, I don't care what you use. I mean, you're surrounded by rivers everywhere. That's where maybe some of that toxicity in the river might actually do you some good.
Yeah. Act as a solvent.
Oh, my goodness, man. The funkiest human beings you've ever seen in your life. That's why when they come up to me, look, I'm not even going to go sideways here, man. I'm about to go completely sideways here. So another one here I got is people call it paracord, but I call it 550 cord. That's what we call it. And snare wire. Or tripwire, same thing. Okay, when you're out there, out and about, that snare wire, man, you can catch squirrels. You can do all kinds of things with it. I can make some pretty nifty tripwires out of it. We did one video, I think, on 4th of July a few years ago, where I actually talked about using like those poppets as snares and stuff, that, you know, early warning snares, rat traps. I mean, we used to use them all back in the day. Where you have a chem light on there. I mean, there's so many different ways you can go about that. So you can use it for trellises, obviously animal snares, tarp shelters, that 550 cord, even the monofilaments within it. You can make a fishing net out of it, the whole nine yards. 550 cord is invaluable to me. I mean, I love that stuff, and I used to buy it by the 1,000-foot roll. That's how much that stuff means to me. So it's really good stuff. And, you know, clearly, I mean, like your boot laces and stuff like that, you know, it's always good to replace what you have there and replace them with 550 cord or paracord, whatever you want to call it. And now they got stuff like fire cord, survival cord, and all those things. I don't know how well they'll work in these boots because they're a little bit fatter. So some people, I'm the world's, people got really big on these preparedness campouts. Man, you want to really irritate me? Screw up my night vision. Yes. Screw up my night vision. And everybody walks around with these idiotic headlights. It is the dumbest thing you can do in a tactical environment, folks. Never, ever, ever wear a headlight. And if you got to use a light, make it a red light under a tarp.
I was getting so mad with Emily on the Midwest Preparedness Conference because she'd like get up, and because she was doing 75 hard, so she's drinking a gallon of water, so she has to get up in the middle of the night to go to the porta potty, and I would just be so mad. I'm like, Emily, it's a full moon outside, the porta potty's right there, you can see, quit turning on the light. But there's a bunch of people who just automatically think like, oh, it's dark out, I need to turn on a light to see, and then don't even test to see if they can actually see in the dark or not.
No, and from a tactical standpoint, I mean, if you found it, you found yourself in a position where you had to bug out in the first place, the last thing you want to do is bring attention to yourself. And that's why, honestly, man, like a solar battery charger, yeah, I get something like that. That makes sense to me, okay? But going out here with these headlamps, folks, it is the dumbest, dumbest, dumbest thing you can do in a tactical environment. Because you just drew attention for everybody. Now, think about it. It's like in the book, One Second After. And even William Forston spoke about this at length. That when, let's say the worst should happen, and you find yourself in a tactical environment, your senses become more alert, especially when you're a person without. So I don't care if it's your sense of smell. That's why in the military, we called it, when we go into patrol base, we do what was called SILS. It stands for stop, look, listen, and smell. Because you use your senses, and the obvious biggest giveaway, the thing that's going to get more people killed than anything are those headlamps. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. Those headlamps are the worst invention ever. And for some reason, even so many people within the preparedness circles don't understand the why you should never use one of those. Certainly not. If anything, you get yourself a flashlight. You use it with a red light. You do it under a tarp. you got to be very, very cautious, especially the people around you that may be without and may not, you know, honestly, who even knows what they might do to you if they find you. So you want to be really careful about those things, but that's a list. Anything you want to add to that, son?
Yeah. Instead of maybe like you brought up an e-tool earlier, I was thinking like a machete, just thinking about how much we accomplished alone with just a machete over at Jeff Lawton's farm. And he, you know, observed this from going to different farms all around the world. But like the machete was probably the most valuable tool we had. If you have a machete and a file, then you can dig with it. No problem. You can harvest, you can do fine cutting tasks with it. You can clear land for future growing and stuff like that. Like a good long 18 inch machete can get you pretty far, and you can sharpen it easily with just a file. Once you learn how to maintain that, I know a lot of people have mistakes with, you know, sharpening knives and stuff like that. Machete is really, you know, forgivable. And it's nothing wrong with cutting on a burr with a machete. It's not like you're trying to slice paper or packages or anything like that. So the burr isn't going to be an issue with a machete, and it's going to get knocked off as soon as you start using it and everything. But yeah, a machete, that can get you pretty doggone far. You can make a structure with it. You can like set lines for a garden. You can dig with it to a certain extent. Yeah, that's a, I would rather have that than an e-tool or a hori-hori.
No, that's a pretty good observation there, son. Batman says shooting a gun is a no-go too. Look, people want to laugh about this in the preparedness space, but I've been saying it forever and a day. A 22 is probably your most valuable weapon out there. Why? Number one, you can take down some pretty, I mean, first of all, you can take out all the varmints you need with the 22. Number two, it's hard to hear a 22 from a terrain feature away. So when you use a 22, number one, you could take down a person if you had to. I mean, obviously nobody wishes for that. Not if you're, unless you're a lunatic. A 22 could take down a person if you had to, obviously. That's why these people, when they talk about stopping power, I mean, look, you get shot with a BB, you're turning around. Okay, yeah. You get shot by a 22, you're going to like keep coming, especially if it's a 22 hollow point, which makes a hole as big as a 9mm. Ask me how I know. So number one, it's light. You can carry a bunch of rounds. A big reason too. I mean, I didn't even cover weapons in this sort of thing. I didn't think that was, you know, I was kind of sticking strictly to permaculture, but really this is part of it. So I'm glad you brought it up. A 22, I think, is the most valuable weapon in a grid down area because you can carry thousands of rounds, thousands. And you can take down varmints. You could take down, you know, marauders, whatever the case may be. Nobody's just going to get up. I mean, what do you think the mob used to use back in the day for hits up close? 38 or a 22. There was a reason for that. What do I use to take down most animals, even 400-pound pigs? A 22. I know a lot of other people like to use a 410, but for tactical reasons, you're not going to hear a 22 more than a terrain feature away. So you're not going to draw attention to yourself from somebody. I mean, you shoot off a 30-06, man. Everybody for miles around is hearing that. You shoot off a 22, they could, from the right distance, think maybe it was just a tree falling in a forest or almost certainly not even hear it at all. So you can go around with a 22 and you can do a whole lot with it. So, yeah.
Yeah. I can carry 500 rounds of 22 in my cargo pocket with no issue.
Absolutely.
You can't really do 500 rounds of anything else in a cargo pocket.
Yeah, I mean, you can get a Ruger 10/22. Man, I love that thing. That M&P 15, I love that too. It has like a AR platform. I mean, that is without a doubt the number one utility rifle that we use around here. Now I have all the others as well, everything from a 30-06 to, you know, ARs. I mean, you name it, we got it all. But the point is if you had to get out with just, if I had to just pick one rifle and go with it, I guarantee the 22 would be the one I'd take. And I know people think I'm crazy for that, but for all the reasons I cited there, and I will have rounds forever. Your basic kit as a soldier is like 120 rounds. I think it's about 120, 130 rounds or something like that. Good night. I can carry a couple of thousand rounds and not even think twice about it with 22. So, yeah. And like I said,
if you have an AR, if you have an AR, you can actually buy a bolt carrier group sized for 22 because the diameter is the same. And you can actually switch your AR to shoot 22 if you wanted to. I've done that. I got that bolt carrier a while back, and I just use that to practice because it's much cheaper than 5.56, that's for sure. I can buy like 500 rounds of 22 for the price of two boxes of 5.56.
Yeah, you're money ahead big time. So I didn't talk a whole lot about weapons there. I'm you know, that's, but honestly, since you brought it up, that's without a doubt my favorite weapon out there. You know, I have a family member who thinks that a handgun's all he needs, and I'm like, okay, if it comes down to that, I'll just leave that one right there. All right, son, anything else to add?
Water purification, but also like a means to heat, like if it's a bug out bag and I'm planning on going, I'm arriving to a location that has, you know, better storage and everything like that. The first thing I was thinking of was my jet boil. That thing makes hot water. It can purify water so doggone fast. It can heat up water for meals if I'm bringing freeze-dried food, stuff like that. Yeah, jet boil is awesome. That's what I was using during the disaster relief stuff up in North Carolina. Believe it or not, it helps out quite a bit when you're in miserable conditions to have a hot cup of coffee to start the day. A lot of the chill wears off and stuff like that. But yeah, that jet boil does a fantastic job. It boils water in under a minute and a half. And like, I've used the same canister since I got the thing. I haven't even had it. So it's super efficient on fuel as well. But you could use it to light a bigger, you could use the burner to light a bigger fire if you wanted to, if you're worried about fires, but you could also use it to just boil some water real quick and then, you know, keep on going.
Yeah, there's a lot of great ideas out there, folks, but just be thinking about, especially in these times that we're getting into right now. Look, I'm not trying to freak anybody out or even talk about being fearful, but I think it's important that we go back to our roots every once in a while, and mine just happens to be in the preparedness world, in the military world, and that's really where I cut my teeth in a lot of this stuff, long before I got into permaculture. It just sounded like, to me, permaculture was the next step, you know, it should have been. But be thinking about these things, because everybody by and large is going back into the matrix, and they're still going back. Now, granted, some of them are starting to circle around and saying, hold up, I don't see a whole lot of difference going on right now. I don't see anything changing. If anything, we see things hitting a point of entropy, and that ain't wonderful. But it's not a reason to be fearful, folks. That's why every single time on this show, we exit this show every single time by saying the very same thing, and that is stay alert,
stay alive.
Watch the world spin from the smallest sprout to harmony begin in the cycle of life, for the magic's alive.